Emotional control and pressure release tapping is indeed useful and is a good way to make you feel safe and calm inside. I felt it was really interesting that they say that they felt safe. And it wasn't until much later, past COVID, that I really understood the importance of feeling safe internally.
Listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show. I'm Charlie Bennett in the virtual studio with the whole gang, Marley Givens, Fred Rasko, and Wendy Hagenmeyer. Each week on Lost in the Stacks, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
Our show today is called A Material Method for Mental Health. We're going to learn about tapping, a physical method for reducing stress and creating mental calm.
Now, when I first heard someone declare that tapping was something you could add to your well-being routines, I had to ask twice what they were saying. So we'll say it again.
It's tapping, like tapping the keys on your laptop, or like what Eddie Van Halen does during his solos.
And now you might ask, why are we talking about tapping on our Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show? Well, let's connect the dots. Dot one, we talk about the material oomph on the show, especially when we consider analog tools or physical information containers.
Dot two, our research library is the Georgia Tech Library.
And dot three, our guest today is a Georgia Tech professional who has used tapping in her personal life and is teaching the Georgia Tech community about the technique as part of the many ways that Tech is doing its best to support the well-being of its students and staff.
Connect the dots, and of course we're going to talk about a Georgia Tech-supported well-being initiative that has material oomph.
And our songs today are about mental health, healing, and being cool with yourself and with your mind. We sometimes think of the mind as almost ephemeral, but our brains are just as material as the paper and artifacts that we sometimes refer on this show as the material oomph, as Wendy said. So let's start with a song about the life of the mind and how to bring what's mental into the realm of the physical. This is My Mind by the Arcs, right here on Lost in the Stacks. That was My Mind by the Arcs, and this is Lost in the Stacks. And our guest is a practitioner and teacher of the mental health technique called tapping. Misuko Ito is an administrative professional in the School of Electrical and Computer Engineering, or ECE, here at Georgia Tech.
If someone has never heard of tapping at all, except for the actual action of tapping, and they say, what's this? How do you explain it to them?
One way to explain it is it's a newer psychosensory modality of self-care. What we can be doing is physically tapping on our body some particular points. And in doing so, we're generating a little bit of vibration, but we're also connecting to some of the nerve endpoints. And so there is an effect that's really interesting that's not as well known in the Western society. But this is a practice that has been performed in the East for many, many decades, many centuries, thousands of years. And so there's a good established anecdotal evidence that this is a very valuable self-care modality.
And when you were describing it to me, you tapped your forehead and your jaw. Mm-hmm. What are these distinct points and why those points for tapping?
Yes, great question. The origins of tapping, part of it is in the Eastern medicine, traditional Chinese medicine. So just like acupuncturists would insert needles into some of the points of the bodies, they can call it acupressure points, acupoints, acupuncture points. Those are basically along the meridians, if you're open to the concept of the meridian system. So it's, for my own personal understanding, there's a little bit of electrical component to it. I have this really neat little tool called an energy stick, a little plastic tube that has diodes inside with aluminum wrapped on both ends. And as I hold both sides, it's going to make a sound and make some light flash.
Whoa. Okay.
Well, this shows that there's a little bit of electricity running in our body, static. When you touch on the car in the heat of the summer, sometimes we get shocked. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why we don't stay in the pool when it's thundering out there. So we're utilizing that nature, electrical nature, is my own understanding, and having an influence on the nervous system. What these points are, yes, so the meridian points, but you can call it reflex points or electrical stimulation points, or I think there are different ways to describe it. How it came to just be some of these points, the main evidence-based clinical EFT tapping points. Gary Craig, who was a Stanford engineer, he was trained by someone else called Roger Callahan, who have incorporated a lot of different tapping points. But I think him being an engineer and just wanting to slim things down, coming up with a simple protocol, trying to get the basic foundational, you know, most simplified version of it, he just picked the 12 that seemed to be really having potent effects. And if we are to say a little more about that, they're often on the end points or the beginning points of each of the meridians, stomach meridian, bladder meridian, gallbladder, central vessel. There are different types of major meridians, but we're mostly covering those 12 major meridians.
And you said earlier, if you believe, so is the word meridian, is that what you're saying? Or
meridian, yeah. M-E-R-I-D-I-A-N-S.
And what aspect of it is belief? You know, like obviously we have nerves, we are in bodies, but you said if you believe, so what's the quality that maybe one takes on faith?
Sure. I think that it's really good to know about the meridian system, but we're so far away from China where it has originated. If you're in California and in Seattle on the West Coast, then I think the understanding of the awareness and acceptance of the traditional Chinese medicine is so much more. Here, being on this end of the continent, I just find that not a lot of people, not as many people have had the experience of acupuncture, may not have had the benefit of the traditional Chinese medicine. So there's a little bit of barrier there. That's mm-hmm. why I use that word belief. I personally strongly believe that it's just part of our human anatomy, but I also don't want that to put anyone off by using a word that's going to be uncomfortable for them. That's too foreign, that they're not going to entertain it as something that's valid. So if that's the case, then I'd like to use the words such as brain, the nerves. I think nervous system has a wider acceptance. I do think that we're impacting the nerves. So that would be the word that I would use.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you know a lot about this and you feel very comfortable talking about it in sort of a historical sense. Is tapping new to you, or have you been doing this for a long time? When did it come into your life?
Yes, great question. To think back on it, here's another tool that I also like to share. What this is, it's basically a bamboo stick with something like a ball on the end. This one is squishy. It looks like a golf ball, but it's not as hard as a golf ball.
Okay.
And on this end, it's a little back scratcher.
Yeah.
So this is something that if you lived with old generation Japanese people, a lot of them would have it in their house. What this does is, yes, they call it grandchild's hands, this side where there's the little back scratcher, because it allows any old people who have limited mobility issues with their neck and shoulder to still be able to scratch their back. So it's a brilliant self-care tool. And on this end, it also has this back bonger, shoulder bonger. So you can be tapping on your body.
Yeah.
So I grew up seeing this, knowing that this exists. And then my grandfather was really wonderful with his hands too. And I grew up with chronic shoulder tension, headache, that kind of things, where I later in my life, I learned that it was basically me holding on to stress. So how I manifested stress in my body is that my shoulder, neck, head, all that area is just so tensed up and I needed relief. If I was down with a headache, then my grandfather would give me rubs and he would place his hands on these specific points and rub into them. And it hurts, but it hurts good. So I did grow up with that awareness that there are ways to care for our body using the hands and pressure. So I think this is just one additional way that we can apply that pressure through bonging and tapping.
We'll be back with more from Masuko Ito of ECE here at Georgia Tech after a music set.
File this set under RC435.A54.
That was Tap, Tap, Tap by Patatrax. And before that, Electricity by Captain Beefheart and his Magic Band. Songs about ways to reach your nerves. This is Lost in the Stacks, and our interview today is with Masuko Ito, an administrative professional in the ECE department here at Georgia Tech.
Later in 2006, I think, I was with my third child or third pregnancy, and I was already suffering with postpartum depression, and it was only getting worse with each pregnancy. The ironic thing is that I also had lots of joy and shift of hormones with my pregnancy too. So during pregnancy, things are great. I have such an optimistic view of life. After pregnancy, postpartum depression was so real. And this was number three, and I was having all these conflicts, like, what do? I love being pregnant, but I don't want to have to go through that postpartum depression again. So I was really eager to look for anything that was going to help me. And tapping, that's when tapping came into my life for the first time. It might have been through a counselor back in Colorado, Fort Collins. She introduced this to me, and I might have tried it. It might have left an imprint on me, but I didn't have all the resources and energy to pursue it at that time. Now, fast forward to after I moved to Atlanta, now this time again with another pregnancy, another postpartum depression, another panic attack to the point where we seriously considered me being admitted to a hospital even. I even thought about possibly adopting her out because I was seriously doubting myself as a capable mother to care for my children. And far removed from my family members, relatives. We grew up in Japan. I grew up in a three-generation household. I knew the benefits of an intergenerational support. I didn't have any of that. Here I'm shaky with my mental health, overwhelmed with stress, affecting my physical health, affecting my functioning. I just needed some way out. And tapping is, again, one of those things that I came back to. One of the tapping session that I had that was huge to me, she had given me a lot of warning and she had given me instructions. We had done tapping perhaps one sessions already. And so she had given me enough warning. She said, okay, we're going to go through the tapping again. You seem to respond really well to it. And here's where the psychosensory part comes in. The psychological part also comes in. She said, I'm going to put out a word for you. And it might be triggering for you, but we're going to tap through it, okay? That's what she said. And I was ready to do anything to start feeling better. I was at that one of the rock bottoms. There have been several other rock bottoms, but one of them. So I said, yes, I'm open to trying. And she said, okay, then we're going to start tapping. Repeat after me. Even though I'm a bad mom, I accept myself. And with that, just like the dam had broke. I'm still getting emotional right now. And that brought up a lot of stuff that, you know, I was dealing with internally. So I'm going to start tapping on myself right now because this is how I really calm myself down in times of stress. And you can see how already I'm shifting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is just such a powerful emotional management tool, a stress management tool for me. And this is how I have been able to live through times of stress, how I've been able to help myself get out of depression, manage my emotions, and how I've been able to get myself to a stable place, really, enough to where I'm able to function as a staff at Georgia Tech. I think a lot of us who go into tapping, it's because we are hitting such major wall. It's because we know that we have had such trauma that's affecting our energy and emotions to where we often choose to pursue that as our life purpose, life goals. I think for me, one aspect of it was I wanted to create a safer environment for my kids. As a mother of a severely food allergic child, asthma, allergies, immune issues, myself, autoimmune issues. So just in pursuit of trying to create a better environment, I've always been an advocate, and I wanted to bring this into the schools where my kids were. At some point, they banned me from their campus. They thought that, you know, your mom coming in and tapping, sharing tapping with her classmates, his peers seemed a little threatening to them. So I needed to give them a little space. But Georgia Tech was willing to hire me, and they seemed to be accepting of this desire for me to share stress management. They see the value in it, especially post-COVID. That's when I got approached saying, do you want to share some of this mindfulness techniques that you have been practicing? And through staff council, through GTHR, it's really been wonderful. And the feedback has been great too.
So from your story, the tapping, it's not simply a physical action. It's also related to something you're thinking at the time. And is there an easy way to describe that relationship between what you imagine while you're tapping, or is it more complex than a single explanation?
There are different ways to approach this. I think for me personally, being a massage therapist and knowing that me personally hold tension a lot in my body, what I would encourage anyone to do, you mentioned visualization or imagination, I invite people to know where they're noticing the stress in their body, in, on, or around their body. Oftentimes, stress is not just a mental activity, but it's very physical. Oftentimes, fear shows up. Like if someone's having a panic attack, I love working with those that have phobias. It's very visceral. Your hands might get sweaty. You might have your heart pumping so much faster. You might not be able to take a deep breath. You might have a gut-wrenching sensation. Stress can be very visceral. And I think that's part of the message that I want to share, the awareness that if you're able to connect with the stress in your body and do this physical application of tapping, noticing that's just a stress manifestation, you're able to create shifts. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, you did. So what's been your experience telling students about this, getting them, interested and skillful at tapping?
Yeah. I think there's several different camps. Some people might think that, well, thank goodness I'm not stressed enough to the level where I need to start doing weird things. And then there are some that are totally open. They say, yeah, especially those that have grown up in China, India, other culture where they have some more familiarity with non-traditional, non-mainstream Western modalities, I guess, mm-hmm. Who come from different backgrounds. They would, the ECE PhD students even, they would say, yeah, of course, because we have static electricity running in our body. Or they might say, yeah, this is really good. It releases the emotional pressure and makes you feel safe. Those are the words from the students. That gives me perspectives and words to know, okay, this is how they're feeling, that it's helpful.
You are listening to Lost in the Stacks, and we'll be back with more from Misuko Ito about tapping on the left side of the hour.
Hi, this is Lila Jane. You are listening to Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show on WREK.
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Do you like Lost in the Stacks?
Yes, I do.
Today's show is called A Material Method for Mental Health. And if you visit the website tapping.ece.gatech.edu and find the About page, you'll read this. This site was generated in response to the COVID-19 crisis that has hit GT campus hard, as it did everywhere else in March 2020. Within 1 week, Georgia Tech went from having regular classes and operations, March 12th, to exploring having instructions move online, to letting students know they are not to come back, to the whole campus research ramp down, March 19th. And many other themes, events, tragedies, too many to list in the subsequent months that follow. No doubt 2020 and the aftermath has brought a great deal of confusion, overwhelm, many emotions, and distress. Although we at Georgia Tech had been blessed with protective leadership, a strong community, along with other favorable factors allowing us to withstand the crisis as a whole, how individuals have been impacted varies greatly, and the need to be collectively resilient has never been greater. File this set under PN56.P914.
You just heard Health Angel by P Model. And before that, Can't Find My Mind by The Cramps. Songs about mental health trauma and healing from it.
With The Cramps?
Welcome back to Lost in the Stacks. Our guest today is Misuko Ito, an administrative professional in the ECE department here at Georgia Tech.
And you have a page on the ECE site that is tapping.ece.gatech.edu.
Yes, that's
correct. Do you maintain that? Is that yours?
Yes, yes. Me and several other staff members, we owe a great deal to the communications team. ECE is really, really blessed to have. It's a wonderful school. Our new school chair, too, he wants to encourage everyone to balance life, work and life with balance, with care and compassion, while nurturing our community and growing professionally. And I think that it deeply resonates, that the idea of tapping deeply resonates with what the chair has in mind, what the previous dean has had in mind, who is now the provost, and even the current dean. Everyone, I don't think that it's in out of alignment. It's just totally in alignment. We want to be centered and grounded. We want to perform well. We want to function well. We want to be a good contribution to the community as we care for ourselves, nurture ourselves.
Yeah. Yes.
So we're really blessed that EC has wonderful resources to have this kind of stuff up and running. We have videos out there and website and even tapping circles that we can offer.
What is a tapping circle?
A tapping circle, that is in collaboration with external tapping practitioners who are certified. Often, they are there to co-host with us. So I put the tapping circles on the website, and whoever wants to sign up can sign up. And this gets shared with, whatever opportunity that GT has. Right now, it's also on the Be Well or the Wellbeing Initiative through the Georgia Tech Human Resources website as well. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely open to other USG community members and beyond. If you want to bring your friends and families, they're all welcome too. But basically the tapping circle, we host just 30-minute short tapping experience. So if anyone is new and wanted to give it a try, because it's so much easier to have an experience and know the value of it just than just reading about it. So we offer this space as a platform where you get to experience a little bit of tapping, and you can ask questions if you want to. If it doesn't work for you, there are many other stress management techniques, but I so strongly believe that this is a valuable tapping technique. And I guess we've gotten enough support, enough validation from the community members too, where they're willing and eager to share and support this initiative.
Some people might push away tapping because they feel that it's not true, or it hasn't been scientifically validated, or that it is in some way culturally inappropriate. Have you had any of that experience? You said that everyone's been sort of very welcoming and validating. Has there been any dissent?
I have not personally had a straight in my face backlash type of thing. It could too be that because I already have been sensitive in how I present it. Like, I don't go around saying tap on your meridian points without without having a sense of them being open to the concept of meridian, right, for example. So for me, that hasn't been, but also I only started tapping seriously in the 2000s, which is much more recent. This technique has been around, at least the tapping that Gary Craig had introduced to the world, shared with the world, has been around since the 90s. And if we backtrack it, then in the 70s with Dr. Callahan. So back then, I'm sure that they had to defend themselves. In Dr. Callahan's book, he openly claims that I don't exactly know why this works. Some the meridians seem to be doing it, but he himself wasn't so sure what the meridian was. So I think they were just all experimenting, basically. So what I do know is that a lot of acupuncturists, I love acupuncture. I love acupuncturists. I love how they try to explain things, but honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, there's so much dampness in your something-something meridian. I can't quite wrap my mind around it, honestly. So I could totally see how, if we're not careful explaining tapping in a way that's relatable for them, it could create a backlash too, or it just can create so much discomfort to where they're not going to be able to accept it, and it could lead to resistance.
Yeah.
I have observed over the years that if you look at Wikipedia and look up tapping, which I haven't recently done, I do think that it was at one time labeled, what's it called? Like pseudoscience. I don't even know what exactly the word means, but I'm getting the impression that I get is not trustworthy, perhaps.
Untested, I think, is the way, or unvalidated.
Unvalidated. Okay.
I remember, in my youth, acupuncturists and chiropractors were sort of lumped into the same sort of, not exactly pseudoscience, but untested, uncertain, perhaps not as good as medicine, and I think there's still quite an intense but subtle argument going on in the culture about whether something is needs to be scientifically validated, if something can be done, even if it doesn't have a truth to it, big quote marks around truth, but if it makes you feel better, you should do it, you know, that sort of thing. Although I haven't heard anybody disparage a chiropractor in a long time. I think everything gets sort of more and more accepted as we move forward in the culture.
That's really interesting. That's such a great point. I am a practitioner and not a scientist, not a clinician, clinical data collector. So I tend to incorporate things that work. And tapping has produced massive improvements right in front of my eyes, and for myself too. So I strongly believe in it, but I also want to respect those that don't share that same experience.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to push it on them or enforce them or try to override their beliefs. If they can't accept it, then that's okay. It's probably something that they don't need. I probably needed it and I used it and it benefited from it. So that's good for me. And it's good for those students that can benefit from it. That's all cool. But I don't feel like I need to prove that this works either. Although there are enough, I would think that there is, I consider it to be enough scientific and clinical data validation now. And I think one of the struggle might have been, how do we get that voice to be accepted?
Yeah.
So I think for those that like data and scientific evidence, I would say that there is more coming. I think there's more validation of theories through the practice, and it's just a matter of fact of how we can collect data, which costs time and money and energy and commitment.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably one of the biggest sticky point. And for me, before COVID, I was happy to just let the world evolve as the way it was. But because there have been requests, because there have been openness, and because I saw the opportunity to really get this as I do the outreach to benefit people, like I know this can help, I wanted to share. I couldn't just hold back when I knew that something could help them. And there was a synergy at Georgia Tech.
Today's show is called A Material Method for Mental Health. And our guest, Misuko Ito, is a practitioner and teacher of that material method, tapping. She is an administrative professional in the School of Electrical and Computer Engineering, ECE, here at Georgia Tech.
File this set under RC74.N6.
Let's make love for two.
That was Cool, Cool, Cool by the Clare Sisters, and before that, Too Much Pressure by The Selector. Songs about meeting mental health challenges and being cool with yourself.
Today on the show, we talked about tapping, a material method for mental health. So I'd like to ask the show crew, do you have a physical calming routine you use when you're stressed? What are your material methods? Mine's pretty simple. Sometimes I just need to get out of my office and clear my head. So I do a very particular walking path in the library that I've established over the past year. I know I'm particularly stressed out if the students look at me strangely as I walk by, because that means I've done the walk too often and passed the same set of studying students multiple times before the class change can clear them out.
A few times during the pandemic, one thing I tried is just, I guess it's called shaking and dancing. It's just like you just wiggle and it feels absurd, but it just like really expresses a lot of energy through the, or anxiety or whatever you're feeling through the body, like really fast. And then you also just laugh because it's hilarious. So I recommend the shaking and dancing method.
And you got a lot of songs to help you do that.
Totally.
I don't know if I have a deliberate method, but I have kind of an inadvertent tick when I am really stressed or nervous or anxious about something. I tend to scratch my head with both hands. I don't know that it helps, but it's just something that is just like a nervous reaction to negative stimulus. My son's inherited that as well, I've noticed.
It seems very primal.
It does. Yeah, it has to be two hands. And on the head.
Yeah.
I once learned a technique for that sort of the calming of the brain that I need before I go to sleep, or at other times of stress, I suppose. But paying very close attention to your actual present physical environment and taking stock of the things that you can hear and the things that you can see and the things that, you know, you can experience with your senses. And I've forgotten the actual method that involved actually counting specific things, but it, you know, just being in the present is helpful.
I like all those methods. I think the one that we're going to honor with the credits is the shaking and dancing one. Roll the credits.
Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, written and produced by Charlie Bennett, Fred Rasko, Marley Givens, and Wendy Hagenmeyer.
Today's show was edited and assembled by Charlie with the occasional break to try out this whole tapping thing.
legal counsel, and a full-size map of tapping points on the human body were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to Misuko for being on the show, to the ECE department for its support of her work on campus. And thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthestacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast pretty much anywhere you get your audio fix.
Next week's show features a new member of the Georgia Tech Library team, the Electronic Resource Librarian. What is her job, and why is it mostly invisible?
It's time for our last song today, and we close with a song about helping ourselves and others with what's happening with respect to our mental health. This is I'd Like to Walk Around in Your Mind by Vashti Bunyan, right here on Lost in the Stacks. Have a great weekend, everybody.